Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up?
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to episode 230 of the Groom Pod, recorded on November 10th, 2019. The end of the decade is approaching. I can't believe it. In Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we are going to discuss all of the holiday choices in shampoos and colognes that I could find, I'm not going to say that I've got them all, but I did a pretty doggone good job at getting those choices dug up from the internet. And we're going to learn about organic, the term organic, and also talk about how to get the best value out of your time at a dog show. So this podcast is supported by listeners through Patreon and by our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, and Evolution Shears. We have a survey going on, and I keep forgetting to tell our listeners about it. So only the people who have been on the discussion group actually know anything about the survey. Sometimes I'm such a dodo brain, but it's a general survey about the listenership, how long you've been listening, what's interesting to you, where you'd like us to go in the future. You can send us some kind words as we approach our 5th year anniversary. Impressive as it is.
5th year, God.
I know, and it's only a few weeks away.
That just seems so unreal.
I know. And we don't look a day older. I don't know how that happens. I've got that survey pinned to the top of our discussion group, which is facebook.com/group/thegroompod. And I think I also have it tagged on the Groom Pod Facebook page as well. So you can find it there. Look for it. If it's not on top, scroll down the feed and you'll see it. It's a big green banner. It takes about an average of 3 to 4 minutes for people to complete it. And it's just basic questions. And really, it'll help us know where to point the show in the future. So that is going on this week. Another thing that's going on this week is I'm having to learn how to edit audio again.
Oh, again. Well, it's a continual thing, like me with the word processing.
I'm hoping you guys are enjoying the better audio, because when I listen back to it, it's definitely great, especially Barbara and my voices. What isn't so great is that the levels of my commercials now are not the same as the levels of Barbara's and my voices, and I'm having to physically adjust those, and they're all in different tracks. So Barbara and I are now in separate tracks. Everything is all confused because I can't find the big spaces that normally I leave, and it has taken me a buttload more of time to actually get these episodes. Now, I don't think it will in the future, but they sound so fantastic, I'm not willing to give up. I will figure this out. It's just like a little bit of a learning curve. So the podcast may be late, may come out on Saturday, because that gives me like 2 extra days to work my editing magic. And I really feel better when it goes out edited. I think it's better to listen to. I enjoy it more myself when I listen back. I know Barbara doesn't listen, so not a lot of input over there. But what I'd like from you guys is to pipe up on the Facebook page and let me know.
Sorry.
That's okay. Let me know if the audio is better for you guys.
One of the things that I've been doing, it's probably why I don't have anything that happened at the shop, is that I have been deep into editing and reworking my glossary for groomers.
Great.
My idea of working with that as an independent unit, an independent product, I think is one of the best things that I've thought of lately. So you're going to be able to get, I have to decide whether I will also include this as a part of the Beyond Suds book. But nonetheless, before I get the whole book re-edited, we will have this very good re-edited glossary. And it's not like just a dictionary, because it's got some conversation in there from me, you know, where I'll say, well, what's the difference between a humectant and a moisturizer? And I break it down for you, you know. So I'm using the glossary as a direct communication to groomers. It's not in formal, edited, proper, correct format. It's very personal. And most of the definitions are, you know, just enough to help you really understand. When I say I've been so deep in it, it's interesting when you are a writer, because when you are a writer and you get into something deep, everything else seems to kind of vanish around you, and you just get propelled to do one more page, one more letter, one more explanation. Yeah. So I'm very excited about
it. I love that about
it.
Dance.
Yeah.
Dance works that way for me. If I'm choreographing or something and I'm totally in the moment, all the rest of the world just falls by the wayside. Totally. So that's cool. I think that's really exciting. Maybe we can offer that up for sale.
Yeah, I think I will have it. I will have it by the end of the by the end of the year for sure. You know, and
bravo.
And Chris Pearson is working with me to find a publication on demand service so that I don't have to print and bind and take care of paper jams and buy ink. It's, you know, like the ink for me to print 25 books, I have to pay close to $300 for ink.
So it's not, I know, you're talking to the person who's been telling you to do this for a while now.
I know.
I think once you get jump in there and do one and have that door open, then we can move the rest of your books and make them available to the public for purchase in a little bit easier fashion, make them more accessible for people and less work for you. So I'm all for this. This is great. Thank you, Chris. I know she listens, so I appreciate that help for Barbara. I'm just a little too far away and not knowledgeable in that area.
Yes, she's actually been through it. So, you know, I'm the only one that was stupid enough to publish my own books at home and give myself a publishing company. Bird's Eye Press, hey. You know?
I love it.
You know? I'm just an octopus. I could have all these different things. So, but I'm very excited about this glossary, and it's not just a dictionary, although it functions as that and more. And I did decide, Susie, to keep the three colors. So this glossary is done in three colors. There's black ink that's straight definition of ingredients. There's blue ink that's for descriptive terms and industry terms, like what is a humectant. And then there's red for where there's health considerations in an ingredient. And
it's very helpful, that color coding. I was looking through my glossary just last week, and I looked at it and I thought, what is that? Why is that blue? And oh, wait, I remember as I looked at it further. Yeah, it's very helpful.
Yeah,
when you're
so you could actually, by the time this product is finished, you could actually read all the blue entries. And it would give you a vocabulary and a context of which to then understand the more technical definitions that I have to do, you know.
Plus, it'll have a really catchy foreword by B. Bird, which who doesn't love a foreword by B. Bird? I had a little exciting experience at one of my houses.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's with one of my difficult dogs. He's a known difficult dog because he has bad bone structure. So I do my very best to not make grooming painful for him. I move his legs in a manner in which it's comfortable for him. And I'm thoughtful about how close I come on his nails. He's a Havanese. He has been this way since he was a baby. He's just one of those dogs who probably hurts. He's probably hurt his whole life. His body parts don't go together correctly. And it's very easy to see. And that's one of the things I recommend if you're having a difficult time with a dog. Get the dog wet and look at how it's put together. And it might give you a clue as to what's going on there. The other thing is if you're having a repeated problem over and over again with different dogs, notice where the area is, and it might be something you're doing while you're holding the dog. So just a couple difficult dog clues there. I've always been able to do everything with him, including pick him up and put him in the bathtub and then put him in the groomer's helper, because he can be reactive if I accidentally go for his foot. He'll just turn around, and there's no warning snap. It's an instantaneous snap. So I always have him in the groomer's helper. I don't always have him muzzled. Sometimes I use one of those soft cones, because for the most part, he trusts me with the back end of his body. So I can do all of the stuff and give him a chance to be good, because I always work towards success with the dog. And I give him a chance to be good, although without putting myself or himself in danger, to get through the groom. And then when it comes to the muzzle part, then I will put the soft cone on if I have to, but I'll put one of those hard little duck muzzles on. And because I can get that on, because the minute he sees the muzzle, he's like, no, I don't want to do this. Once I get the muzzle on, I can put him in the hammock, and then I can safely, without pain, do his feet and do his nails and trim his bottom of his feet and stuff like that. Anyway, his family was gone. His adult daughter was there. And they've also got a second dog. They got a doodle. They didn't call and ask me if they could get a doodle, which was a little annoying, but they just instead went out and got the doodle. But she's brushing and combing the dog, and she's very good at maintenance. That is a double-edged sword in this situation, because for Peso to get comfortable with grooming, he's like 3 years old. I would need to do him regularly, maybe weekly, maybe monthly, at least monthly, but maybe two or three weekly would be great to get him a little more trusting. Because somewhere in the middle, she goes out and takes the dog to the vet, and then we go all backwards almost every time. It's a little bit frustrating for me. Anyway, the bigger factor here, which I almost forgot to mention, is that they don't want to do the dogs very often because she maintains them. Now they've got the doodle, which she's combing every day, and the dog is delightful, and I'm really glad to have added that dog, but it's a double-edged sword for Peso, because now they're pushing the grooming out and pushing the grooming out and pushing the grooming out. So he is just getting less comfortable with grooming. And then with the parents gone this time, I went to pick him up, and he went nuts. I mean, we never have a problem with me picking him up. But he decided there was no way he was going to let me pick him up.
God.
So I thought, you know what? My general method for that is to walk away from the house so that we go on a little bit of walk, and then I become all good again, and I change the dog's attitude a little bit, and then I can pick the dog up and we walk back to the grooming trailer. He was not having any of it for some reason. I don't know what happened. It's been 3 months since I've seen him. That is a really long time for a dog that has issues like this. So I'm fighting my own mind, which is I want to make grooming comfortable, and yet I know I'm not going to see him again for 3 months. And even though they're doing great stuff in the home, it's not really helping me when I get out to the trailer. We had a big discussion, he and I, and we both decided that it was going to be better if he had someone else pick him up. So I walked back into the house, and I got the adult daughter off of the couch and off of her phone. And she came and carried the dog out, picked the dog up, carried him out, put him in the bathtub. Once they're in the bathtub, I have total control over the dog without any difficulty with all of the tools and things I have and the comfort level of the dog out there. We do fine. So I got through most of the groom as normal, although he seemed way crankier than usual, just in general. I don't know what was going on. He wasn't himself. So I put the soft cone on him, which I don't normally have to use for the back of the dog, but it's, you know, I like it. It's lesser restraining than a muzzle. So I put the soft cone on him. I didn't realize he could get past it. His nose is long enough that he could reach past that soft cone. So I was pushing his mouth closed so that I could get a little hair up here that I didn't need to get, because I could get it perfectly well with the groomer's helper. And I thought he got my finger. All of a sudden, blood was spurting everywhere. It just felt funny. And it was instantly covered with blood. And I'm like, oh my God, it's my first bite. I just had my first bite and it was Peso. I can't believe he did that to me. Holy crap. I'm sure this is going to be really painful. This should be more painful. And then I realized it was the finger I cut off and had sewn back on. And I thought, oh, maybe it's because my finger's numb. I'm sure he punctured my finger because I've got this huge bruise on the backside of my finger, as if he did, right? And there's blood splooting everywhere. So I grab one of those wonderful waterproof Band-Aids and I smack that baby on and I cover it up and I finish the grooming because it wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I shouldn't have had my finger over there. Anyway, long story short, the next morning, right? I haven't admitted to anyone. I'm just horrified because I've gone this whole time since 1998 grooming without ever having been bit. And I do all kinds of difficult animals and I make grooming better for them. And then they don't try to bite me anymore. But Peso reverted completely. And I took that Band-Aid off the next morning. He scratched my finger. It just bled like a man. I pulled it off and I thought, I guess if I don't need a Band-Aid on the second day, I probably can't really actually call that one a bite.
Or that you don't have to call that one a bite because you want to say never bitten.
Yes, I can still say it. Oh, I chewed on that mental bubblegum overnight. But it's a tough situation for me. They have enough money. They just like the dogs long, but then they don't bring them to me.
You know what? You just got to have to say it doesn't work for Peso.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to say that, you know? I mean, it doesn't work for him.
Yeah, and I didn't have the opportunity since they weren't there. I didn't get to talk to them. So next time, I think I will just say, you know, that's fine for Indy.
I wouldn't wait for like 3 months for him to go a whole 3 months before another visit. I would call them soon for the follow-up call and say, you know, I need to get with you on this, you know.
The irony is they have a 6-week appointment. So I make the 6-week appointment. And then at week 5, I get an email or a text that says, you know, the dogs really haven't grown very much.
I know. I hate that too. I hate that too, because sure enough, by the time they get to their revised appointment, they're overgrown, difficult. And, you know, you can't do any kind of training with a once every 3 month schedule. No behaviorist would give you that.
Well, I can do the dog safely, and I always have. But then I listen to Chrissy's wonderful podcast, and I think, what could I possibly do to make it better for him? Now, I know one thing I can do to make it better for him. If he continues to react to getting into the bathtub, I can walk him up the ramp, and I have to remember to bring the ramp. But at this point, I just told them when I texted them that night, their next appointment, that they would need to be home for the next grooming. So I've at least laid that out, and then they can bring the dog down and I can have them come out and they can see where the issue is. The weird thing, the thing that took me by surprise, was that he wouldn't let me pick him up. So I know something has happened.
So do you have a table that goes down?
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, just as a reference, I used to groom this dog that wouldn't let me pick him up. And in fact, nobody else could groom him.
No, I don't have a table that goes down. My table goes down 6 inches. It doesn't go down. It's not a scissor table.
See, what I did with that dog is that I made an arrangement with him that I would lower my table, and then he would put his front paws on the table, and I could boost him on the table, and from there, he would let me carry him to the tub. He just didn't want that first from the floor lift. You know, so I'm sorry you don't have that. That was a way out for Mr. Bear. And in fact, the one time when Mr. Bear's daddy got a little mad and went to another place, Mr. Bear didn't last 5 minutes because they couldn't even kennel him.
I also have 2 other dogs that don't like to be picked up that I use the ramp on. So I have a ramp. It's heavy. It's hard for me to take it with me. I find it annoying. I have to set it outside the trailer when I work. you know, and it gets wet out there. And anyway, I totally take the dog's opinion and the dog's bone structure and the dog's humans all into account when I'm dealing with difficult dogs. But since it's my area of expertise, I just need to communicate with them that it needs to be more often for Peso so it doesn't become a battle. Also, to find out what might have gone on. If he went to the vet's office and they did his nails, because 3 months is a long time to not do his nails, that'll send everything backwards. That's always for his feet, because his feet are so funny that I have to take them underneath and across his body to do his nails comfortably, or put him in the hammock, which if I can't get the muzzle on comfortably, I can't put him in the hammock. So it's a puzzle. Anyway, thank you for listening. And I think I'm going to go ahead and call this a non-bite. I'm going to call it a scratch. I'm going to call it darn close. But I'm going to say Susie 1, Peso 0. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to discuss the holiday shampoo and cologne options that are out there for our purchasing.
All right, now.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. The shampoo industry is flooded with really awesome holiday offerings. But I must say, as I looked into them, because I like holiday offerings, it's a big deal for me to get a different shampoo for the holidays and use a different smell just to make it more festive. That's it. Just make it more festive. I also have the ability to drive 9 miles from my house and go pick stuff up at Cascade Grooming Supply. Makes it very appealing to me. I just pick up a gallon of this or a couple small bottles of that. So this year, I wanted to talk about, since on the survey, people would like to hear more product reviews, I thought we'll do a little product review ourselves right now on the holiday shampoo offerings. So I will start with one of our very favorites, because they are a sponsor of the show and because they actually do have a decent selection of both colognes and shampoos that are available for the holidays. And that is our favorite, Show Season.
Show Season Sugar Cookie fragrance is one of their very best sellers, and it's because just a lot of groomers love it and buy it over and over again, some for the holidays and some for just any time. It's a sugar cookie with a really nice portion of vanilla in it, so it's not just sweetness, but it's got that deep vanilla in there that makes you just want to inhale the fragrance.
Sugar Cookie is one of the fragrances that appears in a lot of the different lines. And personally, I've smelled a bunch of them. They don't all appeal to me. And I'm a sugar cookie girl. I love a good sugar cookie. So the fact that some of these sugar cookie shampoos smell more like burnt sugar cookies or like a candle with sugar cookies, those don't appeal to me. The Show Season Sugar Cookie blows my socks off. As a matter of fact, if you see me while I'm smelling the Show Season Sugar Cookie shampoo, my socks will be rolling up and down on my ankles. They'll just go up and down and up and down. Man, that stuff is amazing. And they have a matching cologne that goes along with it. So the Sugar Cookie shampoo is described as a gentle conditioning shampoo that smells delicious, and that is no lie. It cuts through dirt without stripping natural oils while infusing the coat with aloe and sunflower oil. It also has the cologne that matches, and I just love it. It's one of my favorites. They also have another one that seems to be very prevalent in amongst everyone's lines, including in the consumer world. Can you guess which one that is? Pumpkin spice.
Oh, pumpkin spice. I've been overdosed with pumpkin spice.
That's what I was saying.
The whole pumpkin spice thing is so way overdone. Oh, look at this. They have their whole holiday colognes. My God.
I know.
These people are very much in there with the fragrances.
While we're waiting for Barbara to pull that up, I wanted to discuss the blueberry fragrance, because a couple places they seem to indicate blueberry as a holiday fragrance. I'm not buying it.
No, that's a spring.
Yeah, spring, summer.
Yeah, they do blueberry. It's because they do blueberry clove. I've got to say, this one, you hardly hear a critical word coming out of my mouth about anything show season, but blueberry clove aromatherapy oil, it can't be. It cannot be true essential oils. There is no essential oil of blueberry. It's a fruit.
Right.
It's, you can't distill it, you know, like it's not like a rind like orange that you can cold press and get an oil out of it. You can't get blueberry oil. Blueberry is a synthetic fragrance oil.
I love it. It's delightful. I enjoy it tremendously, but...
But it's not...
Holiday. So pumpkin spice has always been a big turnoff for me because I don't like pumpkin pie, so I'm just not sure what's in pumpkin spice. And I do like apple pie spice, but that's called apple pie spice. It's a little clearer that it's not the actual pumpkin. I didn't realize there's no pumpkin in pumpkin spice.
Yeah, no, it's for the spices that you would use to make pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
Which are like cinnamon, clove, allspice.
Isn't that the same as apple pie?
Well, apple pie, somewhat. But I don't think you do clove in apple pie, but you definitely do cinnamon. It's very similar. Apple spice is going to be a little bit lighter and more top-notey than the pumpkin spice because it's got the nutmeg in it that's pretty deep. The sugar cookie shampoo is very basic. It's a sodium lauryl sulfate shampoo cleaning action. It doesn't have very much additives, just this proprietary fragrance that they use. It's got their typical sunflower triglyceride blend, which helps as a fragrance extender. That's one of the things that I like about Show Season is that they use a natural fragrance extender instead of a synthetic extender. And this is the kind of thing that you would learn when you get my groomer's glossary.
They also have a conditioner. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. They also have a conditioner that goes along with this. Look at the pumpkin spice one. Yeah, the pumpkin spice conditioner is new this year for show season. But I'm guessing, well, for instance, the Chris Christensen holiday shampoos are all the same shampoo with a different smell. I think Best Shot is all the same shampoo with a different smell, but it's the sentiment line.
Dave Campanella is sending me some fragrance products from Best Shot to play with. And
oh, nice.
I'll share that.
That'll be fun. So I noticed the pumpkin spice cologne is in a dark colored bottle. That must be because something in there is sunlight affected.
Yeah, that could be an essential oil ingredient.
Okay.
Essential oils are used in fragrances. Not all fragrances use essential oils, and very few fragrances use all essential oils. And the reason for that is that essential oils don't last as long, and they are much more expensive.
Compared to the synthetic ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to use a lot more, and it doesn't last as long. So it's just really a choice. Sometimes manufacturers get pushed into the be more natural, and they end up having a product that the fragrance doesn't hang in there.
Show Season says that their pumpkin spice is yummy pumpkin and warm spices. So they do include the pumpkin in their smell.
They say. And that could be how the place where they buy their fragrances, that can be how the supplier describes the fragrance. You know, a lot of what is said about ingredients is text or words or phrases that are suggested by the supplier. And the manufacturer who puts them together, right, just uses that. And there's Mary Cranberry shampoo.
Yes, that's the other one I've got listed.
Oh, well, did you do a lot of homework?
I did. So does it look different?
A little bit, yes. Yes, this is different.
Okay.
Okay, this is a sodium lauryl sulfate with cocamide, MEA, cocamine-propyl betaine, and PEG-3-diastereate, which is a pearlizing ingredient or one that makes them you can't see through it. It does have, all of their shampoo is going to have the sunflower triglyceride blend. It's probably a little more tough on dirt. Let's just say that, okay?
All right. Out of the three, the Mary Cranberry, the Pumpkin Spice, and the Sugar Cookie, Sugar Cookie's definitely my favorite, followed by that Cranberry because I'm just not a Pumpkin Spice girl. I don't know what it is.
And the other advantage of the Sugar Cookie is that it's good for Easter time, too, you know? I mean, it's good any time. It's a fragrance that if you don't use it all over the holidays, you don't have to, like, stop using it because it's Easter.
Right.
And I'm going to say, again, that my position, I'm not as fragrance crazy as you are because I come from a time when we didn't have fragranced products for dogs. Even though I enjoy it when my own dogs are freshly bathed and in my face on my bed, and Marco lays right across my neck with his neck across my neck, and then I give him pets and stuff, I know what he smells like. I enjoy when he's fragranced, but I just don't totally go with the idea of a lot of fragrance in pet shampoos. Fragrances are one of the category of ingredients that's most likely to cause allergic reactions in people and pets. I have that. And I've always said that if you want to be a little bit more safe about allergic reactions, use a after-the-bath cologne that you just spritz on the outside of the fur rather than a shampoo that you work into the skin. Just saying.
I understand. And I recognize your opinion, but I like the fragrance because it makes my job better. I think that's really the truth of it.
Well, I think that's an important point. It's how much we enjoy being over the tub using the product. And that's one of the reasons that I was not so crazy about the Hydra products, even though on paper they looked very good. But the fragrance, it didn't put me off, but it just didn't compel me. You know, a Sugar Cookie is something you're going to want to smell again, and your bather is going to want to use it. And that's fine, because certainly we, the person at the tub, is a part of that tub picture experience of the dog. When the person that's bathing the dog is enjoying the fragrance, that comes across very well to the little doggy that's getting wet and shampooed, right?
Right.
That you're happy. So there, I just negated my whole fucking argument.
I'm glad you brought up the sensitivity to the fragrance thing, because I have a counter offer for you, and that is Best Shots Holiday Selection. Fully disclosure, our other sponsor. But it's not why I'm bringing it up here. I'm bringing it up because they offer holiday scents. They are the Sentiment line, so they are a hypo-friendly line, and they have hypoallergenic scents that we learned about a few weeks ago, which I thought was fascinating. And their flavors are different than everybody else's flavors for the most part. I really appreciate that. They have hot toddy, and I don't know what that tastes like because I've long since given up drinking and I don't drink hot stuff anyway. So a hot toddy smell, harvest apple, which I've used and love.
I generally really like apple fragrance products for pets.
Me too. And I'll mention here, if you like a really strong apple flavor, the John Stasco apple oatmeal shampoo is spectacular. I love that smell. It makes my trailer smell just like an apple pie baking. But for the scent conscious, we've got the Berry Amaretto, Harvest Apple, and Hot Toddy, all made by Best Shot. They're great shampoos. I enjoy using them and they smell wonderful, but they do not leave a lot of residual smell on the dogs.
Got it.
They also have colognes and conditioners to match, but they generally are very light in the leave-on fragrance, but they smell wonderful while you're using them. They do leave a little bit of fragrance in there and they're delightful.
There is a reason to spritz products. Here in Tucson, we have been having high static And it's because we are so dry here. And then it was windy like crazy for like a whole week. And that just stirred up all of the electricity in the air. The static was so bad that my hair went straight. My naturally curly hair went straight. I had to buy a wig. You know, like, there you have it.
Oh, but it looks wonderful.
Thank
I like
you.
It.
I do too. So this is my $18 Amazon hair. If they were still advertising, I would rave about it even more. I grew it overnight. I grew it overnight.
And it's so full of
Yeah, I know. Yeah, my customers are loving it. It really makes it harder to groom when you've got static electricity at your workplace, because as you comb up, even just scissoring, you can have the hair will be clinging to the scissors. And for home grooming, rather than just a plain fragrance, I would like to have a great smelling anti-static agent, you know, like just those two things, you know, just for spritzing. I'm not talking about brushing out and detangling or anything other than that, but just something you could just like spray on that puppy just to my Malteser out.
Calm that hair.
Yeah,
down.
My Malteser out there with their hair all standing up on end. It's really funny for Marco. Yeah. Anyway, so that.
All right. Well, Dave, there you go.
We beat that horse to death. Now what?
Let's drive that train back over to fragrances and shampoos. Let me preface this by saying, though we do not necessarily encourage the use of shampoos that do not include the ingredient list on the label, I'm going to mention some here. But when you guys hear us say we don't necessarily recommend this stuff, that's why. We're big proponents of ingredient disclosure and want to support the companies that support ingredient disclosure by choice at this point, hoping that someday we can get some legislation that will actually force these people to let us know what is in their products like they do with human. But we cannot talk about Christmas and holidays and smells without talking about the granddaddy of them all, and that is Le Pouch de Noël. It's my favorite perfume. I wear it myself. I love it. I could bathe in it. It is a complex human-like smell that evokes nothing but Christmas memories for me. Le Pouch de Noël comes in a shampoo. Also, it's a very expensive product, but it is the smell of Christmas for a lot of my clients. I always have some for every year, except this year. I don't have any this year, and I'm not buying it. So there.
Well, I never went for it. I mean, I agree. I just have better things to spend my precious money on. So, by the way, while you're ordering something of the show season fragrance of the season, you might also pick up a jar of Groomer's Mud Shea Butter Hand Cream, because it's got a lot of shea butter in it, and it is got that sugar cookie fragrance. And
yeah, it's nice.
It's therapeutic. It takes it a while to soak into your hand, but it's really good for your dried out hands from grooming during the winters.
Okay, moving on. I'm going to talk about some of the more unique smell products. Well, I would say, but before I leave Le Pouch de Noël, that is a fragrance that has staying power. You will be smelling it a week afterwards. So if your people don't want a walking air freshener, as Barbara said before, do not use Le Pouch de Noël. However, I love it and I enjoy it, so I put it on everything that walks around here during the holidays when I have it. But this year it's all about another company that we're not generally supportive of and their Plumeria smelling stuff. But that is another subject I'm not talking about, because they don't have any holiday offerings that I could see. Moving on to a company that we kind of enjoy, and that is Chris Christensen.
Yeah.
Yeah, some holiday smells. Now, I did not like the holiday smells at Chris Christensen's. I don't know why. And I can tell you for a certainty, it's all the same shampoo with different fragrance. And since the fragrance did not make my socks roll up and down like the sugar cookie does, I was not a big fan. And even though I bought a gallon of it a couple years ago, it's not my favorite, but it might be your favorite. So they do have some unique smells. They have a cinnamon stick one. I have not been able to find a cinnamon shampoo that really smells like cinnamon. It is all kind of funky smelling. So this one as well didn't smell all that great. I didn't love it. They also have a winter mint, and I'm a mint fan. I love mint. I love peppermint. Yum. So I enjoyed that, but I don't love the Smart Wash shampoo, so I tired of it pretty quickly. They have a sugar cookie, which is one of those that did not smell very sugar cookie-y to me. And then they have a holly berry, which smelled okay, but kind of soapy. So that was my impression of the Chris Christensen holiday smells. I have a little experience with them. I also have a little experience with Easy Groom shampoo and their holiday smells. Another product that dries my hands out like crazy for whatever reason. The Easy Groom shampoos beat the crap up out of me. I don't know what the deal is with that. They have pomegranate. I liked that. I liked the pomegranate. They also had a holly berry that smelled much better than the Chris Christensen holly berry did. It smells a lot like having a Christmas tree in your bathtub, so that's cool. And then they have a sugar plum, which I don't know what the difference between their plum and their sugar plum is, but it was okay. I really did like the holly berry out of that group. Then Esprit has some holiday shampoos, although it looks like they're mostly in small bottles. Barbara's checked out at this point because she didn't do this research. She didn't get to read. We don't have ingredients on any of this stuff, so her fun has already been had. But I'm just going to kind of plow through these.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here picking my nose.
So Esprit has sugar cookie because, you know, why not? Pumpkin spice, yeah, like everybody else. Peppermint candy. And spiced cranberry. Now that one piqued my interest, but I couldn't find it anywhere locally, so that was that. Davis has a bunch of holiday colognes. I couldn't get to them without signing in, and I can't remember my password, so I cannot tell you what they are. But I generally like their fragrances, so if I could have seen them, I might have even bought them, but I don't have time for that. So last but not least, let's have a break, all right? I think we're done with this. I think that's all the holiday products. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever it is you celebrate. It's coming. And if you'd like to indulge yourself in some of these lovely holiday smells, now you know where you can find them.
I'm going to get some sugar cookie for my bather.
Good idea. I think I might get some of that myself. Yeah. That sounds good. All right, take a quick break here from Evolution Cheers, and then we're going to be back with our definition du jour, which is a really good one today. It's organic. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877 560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris, because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Definition du jour time. Barbara, organic is one of those buzzwords that really gets thrown around a lot, and I don't know that everybody understands exactly what it means. So enlighten us, my friend.
All right, so here's one interesting thing, is that organic in chemistry is not what you would expect. So organic in cosmetic chemistry or any kind of chemistry means the study of substances that have carbon bonds, which is most everything that we use except for silicone, which is silicone-based molecules, right? So organic chemistry is not natural chemistry like we might think, right? In fact, carbon is found in petroleum, right?
Would it be fair to say that organic chemistry is carbon-based chemistry?
The study of substances that are based on carbon, yeah.
All right. I connected two dots. What do you know?
Good for you. So every now and then, you see this misuse of the term organic substance to... It's an organic chemistry substance, but they're using it to sort of make you think that it's a natural substance. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it usually, I don't know if it's determined, deliberate misuse of a term, or just that they don't know.
Call me a skeptic, but I suspect it's misleading on purpose, yeah, because they lie to us all the time.
They do lie to us all the time. So organic in terms of foods means agricultural products that are grown without use of dangerous pesticides. Organic meats are those that are produced without antibiotics or unnatural substances. Now, organic, when it applies to a cosmetic, is a little bit different because you can't grow a cosmetic, and everything that's in there is derived from something else. And truthfully, you can't have an organic shampoo. And organic cosmetics require cosmetics to be 70% certified organic ingredients. Well, in a shampoo, the only thing that's over 50% will be the water.
Right.
And the water has to be included in your looking at for the 70%. 70% of the remaining substances in the shampoo, which are called the solids.
Okay.
So you got water and then a bunch of solids. So the solids sometimes only come to 30% of the overall product, or maybe 50%. Product that would be the most plentiful in by volume in a shampoo is the cleansing surfactant. And that's going to be maybe 20%. Okay? So your additives, which is where you might have botanical ingredients, they are rarely over 2% and usually under 1%.
So is this a way that they can skirt the laws to call it organic because the majority of it is water?
They can't call it that. You can't call it organic because the majority of it is water. You can't call it organic, but here's the deal. There's no enforcement. The FDA is not enforcing. The FDA will just tell you. If they're not enforcing this in human products, you know they don't got the Department of Agriculture going to the pet shampoo manufacturing plants. The Department of Agriculture is going to the farms and the, you know, like they're for the big time. The animal grooming segment of the USDA is such a small little undefined, we're barely on the radar. They want to know what's happening with the soybeans. They want to know what's happening with the chickens, right?
Right, not the dog shampoo.
Not the dog shampoo. So it's kind of freewheeling. I do have something to read you, though, from the FDA and USDA.
Read me a story.
So this is from FDA.gov, right? Big bold type for a section. Are cosmetics made with, quote, organic, unquote, ingredients safer for consumers than those made with ingredients from other sources? No.
No.
No. Are cosmetics made with organic ingredients safer for consumers than those made with ingredients from other sources? No.
No.
An ingredient source does not determine its safety. For example, many plants, whether or not they are organically grown, contain substances that may be toxic or allergenic. Under the FD&C Act, all cosmetic products and ingredients are subject to the same safety requirement. This is human products. They must be safe for consumers under labeled or customary conditions of use. Companies and individuals who market cosmetics have a legal responsibility to ensure that their products and ingredients are safe for the intended use. But claiming organic cosmetic ingredients is usually pretty much of a stretch, although you might be able to have a single, like, botanical or natural ingredient that is EcoCert certified, which you have to pay for, and it costs a whole ton lot more. So basically what I'm trying to tell you is that organic cosmetic ingredients cost a lot more than regular ingredients and don't offer any particular benefit other than your psychological well-being because you think they're better.
Okay.
And that's the whole name of the game. If the consumer thinks this is better, whether or not it is, they're going to buy it.
Right.
So people, how many years ago? 10 years ago, you never heard of, well, 15 years ago, you never heard of a natural pet shampoo. So first of all, everybody had to go natural. And then how do I distinguish myself from the next guy? I'm not only natural, I am organic. Well, maybe it's a whole game. It's a marketing thing.
So I was wondering, Barbara, if you wanted to do a recognizing marketing speech topic one of these days, where when we're walking through the trade show floor and we hear the shampoo companies bloviating and how to recognize what's garbage and what is actually somebody who knows what they're talking about. I wonder if we could do a segment on that.
I would love to do a segment on that. I can do that kind of a segment on the fly, so to speak, in motion. You know, like I still remember when walking in the door of one of my first Atlanta pet fairs. So we're looking at maybe 2003, 2004, somewhere in there. One of my first Atlantic pet fairs. And there was this huge shampoo display, big vendor there. I'm not going to name names. Their big deal of the moment, their big marketing ploy of the moment was Pina Colada shampoo. Do you remember those Pina Colada? They had these kind of like Pina Colada fancy glasses that they had their shampoo in, and they would reach toward you to give you a sniff, and it was all about smelling like pina colada. So that's when fragrances started being big in the pet grooming products arena. And now there's still fragrances are huge. And now we have the whole natural movement and then trying to one-up each other by being organic or certified organic or really truly organic. You can go for that if you want to, but it's up to you how you spend your money and how you want to market yourself as a business. But between you and I, on the fly, between you and I, we need to know that that organic stuff is marketing, that there's not any difference in the behavior of an organic shampoo. It's not going to clean better. It's not going to be less likely to get contaminated. It can be a little gentler, especially if they're going for sugar surfactants like decyl glucoside, laurel glucoside, the glucosides that are what we call the sugar surfactants. Those surfactants are very mild, but you know what? They don't hold up well in a bathing beauty or a recirculating system because they don't dilute down like the good old sulfates do. And they cost a lot more, so the products cost a lot more. And you're not necessarily buying any safety with them.
Okay.
That's what I would say about organic, and I will talk about it more. It's not my last words or my final words. I'm always looking at it, you know, and there's more to it. There's how do you get a certification? Well, you have to meet certain requirements, like 70% of a product named organic has to be with organic ingredients. And it's really hard to be sure that you're getting something like organic coconut oil from Indonesia. From
or
Indonesia,
the Philippines.
You know,
yeah.
Or the Philippines or any place over there. That's all for now. Stay tuned to this place. We'll have more on organic, but don't be too easily swayed by these comfortable sounding terms.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
All right, it's dog show day. This is exciting. So let me tell you about my dog show experience.
Okay.
I've only been to one. It was held in the football stadium convention area down in downtown Seattle. It's February. It's freezing cold out. I walk in the door. The door closes behind me, and it instantly ruptures an eardrum. I don't know what happened in the room. The pressure, something happened in my ear, and it went pop, and all of a sudden, I couldn't hear out of my right ear. But it was like a month before it came back. It was just the weirdest pressure equalization
wow.
thing that happened when that door closed. And very much that moment, I knew it. Needless to say, I had never been to a dog show, and it was very busy, and there was a lot going on, and I wanted to learn some grooming stuff, but I didn't know who to ask or where to go or where not to go or who not to bother. And I know you have some experience in the dog show world, and you are actually going to a dog show today. So tell me what your plan is.
Well, my plan today is it's pretty well focused. Because my plan today has to do with, remember last week I told you that I was mentoring a groomer from Phoenix area who's getting ready to show her Bichon and wants to do grooming competitions with him. And she just wanted some tips and some help in getting him ring ready. Well, after her visit last week, I realized that fooling around as seen when the Tucson dog shows were, that the Tucson dog shows were like this weekend. So it occurred to me, she was coming down anyway, that we might go to the dog show and see if we can't get a little tips or something from a professional handler, or at least for us to see with our two sets of eyes what the show presentation is today. Because these things change a little bit with who's what dogs are winning and everything.
Does every dog show have the dog show part where they're in the ring doing the confirmation part and then like an agility part and then a obedience part and then a shopping part? Is that part of every dog show?
Mostly, but some shows don't have obedience and agility, but most of them, mostly you do have those three things.
When is it okay to go up and ask questions?
When people aren't busy. And so in the morning, everybody's busy. In the morning, all the rings are full. It's all scheduled. Handlers have several dogs they're handling during the day, running from ring to ring. It's not a good time in the morning. It's a good time to watch the dog showing. Best time to catch somebody is in that lull that happens for some breeds in between when they show in the ring and when they go back in for groups. If somebody has won the breed, then they will go back in the ring for groups. But if you don't win the breed, then everybody is relaxed and they're either packing up or they're schmoozing with each other or they're getting ready to go watch the groups. And that's where the conversations happen, is after people are finished with their ring showing and with the popular handlers that are going to have a dog in the group.
Are you allowed to walk amongst the grooming areas in the back of the show when they're getting ready in the morning, as long as you don't bother the people? Can you watch them getting the dogs ready? That seems like it would be helpful.
Yeah, I've done a lot of that. My experience is that it's always helpful to be humble. To be humble and to ask if somebody turns around and sees you watching them, you can just say, "I'm a groomer, can I watch you?"
Okay.
And they'll either say yes or no. A few years ago, I went to the dog show and I ended up hanging out with a standard poodle groomer who just let us be there all day long. He was getting his dog ready for the group. I watched him put the wiggies in. I watched him do everything. You know, I've watched Bichon handlers put the eyeshadow on the Bichons. That's something that Amy and I want to see if we can kind of get a handle on, because these Bichons that are shown in the specials ring are the already champion dogs that compete with each other. They use dark gray eyeshadow on their eyelids to augment the pigmentation, because one of the things the judge is going to look at is if that dog has nice dark eye rings in the Bichons, okay?
Do you look at the body language of the person who's working on the dog and just kind of take the clues if they're looking at you and they look annoyed, go somewhere else?
You have to be really conscientious, polite. Don't get in the way. And if they don't smile and give you like an okay, move on.
And there's a schedule, right? Somewhere there's a schedule that you can find that tells you when the dogs you're interested in are going out.
And I tried all day yesterday to find the ring schedule for today and couldn't find it. At the showgrounds, you can always pick up a judging schedule. And you can pick up a whole book of all the entries, but that costs you like $10 or $15. Or you can just pick up a free judging schedule, and that will tell you what breeds are shown in each ring at what times. And the only thing that's tricky about that is if they say 10 o'clock, 3 Bichons, 2 Portuguese water dogs, da 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 da. You've got to figure out when you'll actually get to the Portuguese water dogs. It's not always exact.
After the dogs are finished, do they usually leave right away?
Yeah, you don't want to bother them as they're headed out of the door either. Just don't know who's cranky and who's nice. And you don't know that unless you kind of know your handlers. But let me say just one more point, that I do usually like to go to the dog show with an agenda. This time, my priority is Bichons. However, you know, I would still like to see I'm feeling real good about my Scotty grooming lately. I would like to see the Scotties and see indeed if I am doing as good as I think I am, or if there's something I missed out. And you know what? Friday, I did see an article about the best of show winner Friday in Tucson, and it was a miniature schnauzer bitch. So we know there's a hot miniature schnauzer bitch on the circuit, right? It would be fun to see that dog, although I will tell you that I love schnauzer grooming, and I think I do a good job. But every time I go to the dog show, I just am humbled because the schnauzer grooming is so perfect. I'll never get there.
Yeah,
I'll
beautiful.
Never get there. But I just love to go drool over it. And one time I went to the dog show especially to get pictures of male wire fox terriers with testicles.
You're always interested in the naughty bits, Barbara.
No. I was hand stripping a wire fox terrier to the breed profile, but he wouldn't let me shave the testicles or expose them in any way. So this dog looked like it was like wearing this white full diaper underneath it.
A fuzzy ball cover.
Fuzzy ball cover. And so, and I told him, this isn't how they're shown. They, if you've got it, flaunt it.
Yeah.
But you see, if you own an unneutered wire fox terrier, you probably don't want to flaunt it on your everyday walks or going to the park because you're going to be accosted, you're going to be challenged by somebody who's going to say, what? You haven't had that dog neutered? You know, so you want to kind of cover up the evidence.
That makes sense.
I'm always sure to ask the customer of an intact male, do you want to show the goods or conceal the goods?
A wise, wise suggestion, Barbara.
Well, and there you have it. Eyebrows. Go look at eyebrows. Go sit at the terrier ring and just look at eyebrows of the different breeds. That's a wonderful study. Oh, look at this one's long. This one's short. These are stubby. These are practically non-existent. These are long down to the beard. Oh, you know, go sit all day at the terrier ring and look at eyebrows.
I like it.
Don't try to take in too much at any one show, or you're just come home with just a lot of fuzzy information. Make it a point. I'm looking at terrier eyebrows today. I'm looking at poodle tails. I'm looking at poodle puffs, you know.
Well, I'm jealous that you're going to go do that. I've got one dog to groom, but I'm going to hang out here and start working on this particular week's podcast and see if I can't get it done a little sooner, although we're like at an hour and 15 minutes. So this is going to be a long one, a little holiday gift to you guys from us. And don't forget to go to the discussion group, facebook.com/group/thegroompod, and take our little 3-minute survey. And thank you for supporting us on Patreon. And anything else, Barbara?
We love you.
Happy grooming, everybody. Let's see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.